Game Committee to order this day. Since we have a quorum, please shut up your cell phones. If you're going to testify, please sign the sheet by the door. We are not hearing any bills today. We're taking executive action on Senate Bill 339, Senator Balliot's bill.
Oh, we're always taking executive.
Executive action, Senator Balliot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't realize we were taking executive action today. I move due pass.
Senator Balliot, move due pass. Senator Balliot.
Mr. Chairman, I got a couple of amendments, but to be honest with you, the various opponents and proponents were kind of working on the department, and Roger Hagan were working on maybe some sort of compromise that isn't exactly in line with my amendments. So could we hear from them first?
Senator Balliot, without objection from the committee, we sure can. Who would like to go first? Fish and Game? Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Balliot, the committee members, we've been looking at this for the last, since the last meeting, looking at our fiscal note and looking at some of the different options that we have there. And we had talked about a couple of options last time, and for all of, since that period of time, we've come up with another option in order to offer some benefits to military personnel who have been activated and yet try to control the financial impact of it to the department. And what the latest one we're looking at, and as we speak, we're talking to Roger Hagan, and we had just finished some of the fiscal analysis. And that option we're looking at is to apply this to the same group of people that Senate Bill 55 had applied the free conservation license to, and that was to Montana residents who were activated Montana National Guard and Federal Reserve. We would look at those who were on active duty and participated in a contingency operation since September 11th. They must be discharged in order to take advantage of this. They'd be entitled to one resident combination sportsman's license without the bear, and the reason it's without the bear is because if you have the bear included in there, then you have certain time requirements that you have to purchase it before. You have to purchase it before a certain time in the spring and before a certain time in the summer, and you would run into some difficulties there. It would be without the bear, and for a half price. This would be a half price sportsman's license, and in that way that would minimize the impact to the department. It would, and the other if the general fund, if you want to offer it a free to them, if the general fund would reimburse the servicemen for those licenses, they would get the half price license free. If they would purchase the half price license from us and pay for it, they would get it at half price, and we would still have the minimal impact either way in that situation. So that's the latest compromise, or that's the latest option that we were looking at. We don't have it fully fleshed out yet as an amendment, and the financial impact to the department would be considerably less. It would be in the neighborhood of, I have to refer to Hank on.
Chairman, while they're looking at, well, I guess they're okay. Go ahead.
In fact, to the department, Mr. Peterman.
Mr. Chairman, we're looking at if our figures are right, and we would have to go over this again, but we're looking at in the neighborhood of a $7,000 impact rather than the other one. And the reason being that we would be getting half the price of the resident sportsman's license. Since we're getting paid, we wouldn't have the $175,000 federal aid impact because the license would be sold. We would eliminate that impact. And by offering the sportsman's license, we calculate in, like we had previously, the fact that of all the sportsman's licenses that would be sold as half-price military license, normally we wouldn't, that group may not buy sportsman license, but would buy a lesser price license, either a fishing license, a deer license, you know, or elk, or some would buy a sportsman. So that's how we based the last fiscal note on. That's what we would base this fiscal note on. And like I say, it looks, this is what our initial figures look like. We would have to go over, we just finished cranking these out about a half an hour ago. So we would have to go through this and make sure that we didn't make a substantial error someplace. But we think this would offer some opportunity.
Understood, Mr. Peterson. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, if we could also just hear from Roger Hagan real quick.
I don't know. Does anybody have any objections to Roger speaking? Seeing none, Mr. Hagan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to comment. I, too, have just saw the figures and the criteria, and Hank and I did talk earlier today on the phone when we realized that this was going to be heard in executive today. A couple of things applies to Montana residents. We certainly have always expected that. As Mr. Peterson indicated, it would be National Guard and Reserve. The option there would be removing those who joined as Montana residents in active duty. Not sure what the difference is, but I think Hank has got numbers whether you included Guard and Reserve only or whether you included Guard Reserve and active duty. And according to the numbers that Hank came up with, there's a lot more people being recruited in Montana into active duty than I imagined, which tells me our recruiters got to get busy. So there may be two options, and the fiscal impact would be different in both of those. The combo license without the bear is not an issue, I don't believe. I guess if somebody's a bear hunter, they'll come find me and tell me it is an issue, but at this point we don't think that that's an issue. The half-price license is a reasonable compromise. However, if there is still a $27, $26.75 fee that the member would have to pay, or, as the option was discussed, the general fund would reimburse. If the general fund reimbursement is an option that is to be considered, then I would think rather than the member having to apply to the state for a reimbursement of the $27, it would be merely a function of funds transfer from the general fund to the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks when they validate how many of those types of special licenses were sold, rather than going through the administrative hoops of each military member applying for a refund. Having said that, I'm still trying to soak up what it is that the numbers really mean. We are certainly supporting the fact that the intent of this all along was any contingency operation from September 11th, 2001 on, not intended to go back and pick up former retirees that happened after September 11th but may have been in a contingency operation in Bosnia or any of those. So on the surface at this point, it appears that we're getting close to something that looks like it could work for us, and we hope it could work for you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could suggest, if we feel we need to take executive action on this today, I can propose a conceptual amendment that I think will narrow it down enough that Chris could draft it. We could pass the bill with that conceptual amendment, and then on the floor it would have, of course, a revised fiscal note based on that amendment. And we would see what our amendment did at that point. And, of course, we could amend it down more at that point or expand it at that point, depending on how good the fiscal note looks. That's if you feel we want to take action on today.
No, we don't have to take action on it today. We get some input today, which would be very good, because we have two more bills to hear on Tuesday. We could do an executive action on all three. But what we're trying to do is get some input on this, because we've also heard from the Vietnamese veterans and the Korean veterans wanting to know why they weren't included in something like this. So if anyone has any suggestions, we would be very happy to hear it.
Mr. Chairman, point of clarification, and without objection, maybe Larry Peterman on this department cost on this conceptual revision of the fiscal note, $7,000, is that annual or biannual? Where did those figures come from, Larry?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tash, that is a, and like I say, they're pretty rough right now because we haven't rechecked them, but that $7,000 would be a first-year cost, and the cost in the preceding, the following years after we pick up people that have enlisted, you know, and have gone through the process would be about a third of that.
Okay.
So you have a first-year cost of that, and then the others would be about a third of that. But like I say, we're still refining those numbers. And if we haven't made an error someplace, that's approximately what it looks like.
Well, one more point, I guess, probably, and that doesn't have to do with fiscal note, but I think it would be appropriate if there's possibility of holding this until we get these firm figures in front of us.
Senator Balliot.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, with respect to Korean veterans, they would already be seniors, so they're going to be getting half-price licenses on several different types of fishing and hunting licenses anyway already.
Didn't think you would notice.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to suggest that maybe we hold off until Tuesday, and that whatever these guys come up with, that they then also confer with Chris Losey and me, and we make sure we got an amendment all ready to go and know what the consequences of the amendment are.
Without objection from any member of the committee, we can do that. The members are all in agreement. Senator Barker.
Chairman, Senator Dyatt, could you summarize what you've got in mind?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Barkas, the direction I think we're headed is to narrow down the scope of the bill considerably, that it would be a half-price sportsman's license for 1 year to guard, reserve, and perhaps active duty, depending on the fiscal consequences.
The microphone, please, Senator.
Depending on the fiscal consequences of that, that would be a combination without bear, and that would be what we would go with. So it would narrow down from 5 years down to 1 year and only half price.
Senator Barkas.
Thank you. No. Mr. Chairman, Senator, Mr. Peterman indicated something about, you know, fishing licenses, hunting licenses, all the way up the line, so not necessarily sportsman license.
Respond, Mr. Chairman, Senator Barkas, what he's saying is that's how they calculate their fiscal impact. The bill would just be for one half-price combo license without bear, but their interpretation is that a lot of those guys wouldn't have bought combo licenses. They would have just bought a fishing license or something, so the fiscal impact would be significantly less. And so in their calculation of the fiscal impact, they're going to take into account the percentages that would have actually just bought a fishing license, et cetera.
But, Mr. Chairman, Senator Barkas, you're offering half-price fishing and half-price deer or bird?
Or answer to the follow-up, Mr. Chairman, Senator Barkas. It would just, the only thing we would offer would be a half-price combo license without bear, but of course that includes the option to fish and hunt. Okay, that would be the only one we would offer.
Further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ryan.
After getting emails from Bear, I think that the elk would like to be excluded from this too.
How about the eagles and the moose?
Helpful.
I'm talking about fraternal organizations.
Chairman, if I could just withdraw my motion.
You may withdraw your motion, Senator Balliot, and we will charge you, Senator, to work up with Mr. Hagan and Mr. Peterman and come back with a comprehensive bill on next Tuesday when we hear the other two bills, and we will rehear it again. Any further discussion from the committee? It's seeing now Mr. Peterman wanted to speak to the committee about something. If it allow that, without objection.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, we have a request for you to consider bringing forth a committee bill. The situation is that we've had an issue with the Teton Spring Creek Preserve, which is just north of Sholto, just outside of Sholto. It's a bird preserve, and we have a number of preserves that were created quite some time ago. This one was created at just after the turn of the century, and at the time, the preserves were put together to enable game populations to be free of hunting pressure and so forth and expand. And most all of our preserves have long outlived their usefulness. We've got a lot of pheasants. As a matter of fact, we have more pheasants outside the Teton Spring Creek Preserve probably, or as many outside as inside with the CRP lands and everything else. The problem that we face, however, is that there is a restriction on firearms within the game preserves, and we have an extensive, very serious problem, have had for a number of years, with overpopulation of deer and game damage to ranchers in and surrounding the preserve. And we are very limited in our ability to try to control the population. We've tried for years with archery, and we've had unlimited archery tags and so forth, and it's just not getting the job done. We have had some issues with a landowner or two, a homeowner or two within the preserve, which is opposed to us using firearms within the preserve or surrounding area. But like any other areas, many areas we have weapons restrictions and so forth, that we know shooting areas that we deal with that, and we're asking that if somebody be willing, or the committee would be willing, to carry a bill which would repeal the Teton Spring Creek Preserve. It was established legislatively, and it needs to be appealed. This particular one needs to be appealed legislatively. And then we would handle it through our normal game damage and our normal hunting seasons with MEPA analysis for the shooting issue and so forth, and handle it in that fashion. Would give the department more flexibility and certainly be able to more adequately address the landowner concerns in there with extensive game damage. We probably have upwards of 600 to 900 deer that are in that 8 or 9 square mile area. So it's a very significant issue we're dealing with. And we had a couple of sponsors actually that were willing and anxious to do it in the House, but with the number of bills that are in House Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, they're not able to hear it. So that's why we thought that this committee might be able to.
What year was it established, Mr. Peterman?
Oh, let's see.
How long has it been a preserve, in other words?
It has been a preserve since 1923.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Bales, you can start.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Peterman, excuse my ignorance. Exactly where is it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bales, it's just north of Sholto. It's along the Teton River. Now, we have Tom Flowers is with us. He's a warden from Sholto and has dealt with this also extensively.
Can we talk to Tom, please, Mr. Peterman?
Certainly can.
Tom, could you tell us about the preserve for Senator Bales and all of us?
Yes.
State your name for the record, please.
For the record, my name is Tom Flowers, the state game warden out of Sholto, Montana. Mr. Chairman, Senator Bales, the preserve currently has been pared down to about 6 square miles, as the process allows for individual landowners to petition the department to have their lands removed. And in the last year, we've had 3 ranch/farms remove their property from the preserve, and we're in the process of one other being removed. Yet within that corridor, especially along Highway 89, there are some private homes and home ownership situations outside of agriculture, and that's where the safety concern lies. And some of those people don't particularly want to see the preserve be removed, yet they are suffering no damage from it, from the deer either.
Senator Tesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for Tom Flowers, I see this a good deal similar to what we've had to encounter on the Poindexter. And that was a game preserve, where actually fisheries is what it was geared to purchase for. But it is adjacent to our private lands across the Beaverhead River. And we had a large problem, as Larry remembers, with the white-tailed deer. And there were exceptions. The use of firearms that's permitted is black powder or shotgun. And it helped manage that population, that deer population that was encroaching on our private land feeds, particularly out of the haystacks. But I guess maybe one of the other exceptions is the fact that there's no development in close proximity. There is Interstate I-15, though, that goes down through there, and there was a need for that kind of firearm management. But we've seen it as a benefit for us, particularly, and then in conjunction with block management areas on our private land. But I guess one question I have on that deal at Choto, is that all private land on the preserve, or is it combination of private public?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tesh, it is all private land. And it, other than a half a section of DNRC land that has been removed in the last year, it has always been all private land. Although when you look at it on the map, it's indicated as blue because it's a preserve, and there was some confusion there.
Mr. Chairman, Tom and department consideration, I think maybe they could find some parallels as far as on the Poindexter circumstance, and certainly with game management provisions being the objective on it, it looks like there'd be ways to manage that similar to what's been done on the Poindexter.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Senator Belliot.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just a quick question for Mr. Peterman.
Mr. Peterman, please.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Peterman, just to clarify, so if we removed that designation, would the department's intent to be to create a special weapons area there where they could have archery, black powder, pistol, shotgun?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Belliot, that's the intent. We would look for managing the safety issue with the special weapons restriction and probably shooting closures around, you know, residents like we do in most other areas that have that issue.
Final question, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Peterman. Since we've got so many deer there, how about the possibility of taking all these returning servicemen and giving them a special license in this area?
Mr. Peterman, only. Get a question, Mr. Peterman.
Think about it.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Valley, we will.
Thank you, Mr. Peterman.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just mention it before we go any further on this, even if we do a committee bill, which I think doesn't it require a three-quarters vote?
Well, we could have one person sponsor the bill off the committee if they would like to.
That's my question. Is there someone here willing to sponsor it?
Who has a bill request left, though?
I would suggest it'd be appropriate for somebody that's close to that area, certainly, but then that's, of course, an individual consideration. Maybe we don't have everybody on the committee.
As close as it comes.
Well, you are cool.
Well, you are. You're north of me.
I'm billed out. No, seriously, I have more bill requests.
Mr. Chairman, I think we can do a committee bill.
We can do a committee bill if the committee approves it.
But again, my point is, I don't necessarily want to go into considering a committee bill if we don't have someone who's willing to carry it once we do a committee bill. Because even if it's a committee bill, doesn't one of us have to carry it?
I'll carry it. We want to do a committee bill. If we want to look at it, just get a map here. We'll take a look at what we're doing and then make a decision.
Mr. Peterman will supply us with that on Tuesday, I think. Mm-hmm. And if we don't ban archery, then Senator Balliet, who is a bow hunter, might want to carry the bill.
I might vote for it.
As long as we keep Senator Balliet's bill tied up here until this one gets out.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Bales.
What's the timeline that we have? Committee bill still falls under the same thing, doesn't it, or not?
Yeah.
I think it's actually later
last day.
So we'd have to have the hearing on Tuesday and then take action either
or Thursday.
The same day.
Next Thursday's our last
week. Committee, basically.
Mr. Peterman, if you get the information to us, Senator Bales, you have something to say?
Well, I guess I was just looking at the timeline and the time frame, because by the do we need to have the authorization today, because it's going to take a little while to get the bill drafted and then picked up and
3 days notice.
Back in and read across and posted for...
Senator Bales, I'm glad you're going to make the motion. Go right ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we do a committee bill to address the problem on the Teton Spring Creek Preserve.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Bales. Anything else to come before the committee? Mr. Peterman, would you have that information for us prior to next Tuesday?
Mr. Chairman, I would have that information, yes. And I actually have a proposed amendment for Chris. So.
Great. Thank you very much. This will end our adjournment meeting. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. Time to go fishing.
Sugar injection.
Thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome.
Rita. Yeah, I'll build out, otherwise it would. I'm familiar with the preserve. They think with black powder and shotgun and their bow and arrow, the people along the highway are fine.
You kept giving me looks this morning like you were thinking, why aren't you grilling me harder?
Well, I
said.
Yeah, it was very nice.
She wouldn't let me.
I'd ask one question and she'd immediately cut me off.
Really? Oh, you're welcome.
The goodies were given to us by our secretary, guys. Thank our secretary for the goodies. Thanks, Annie.
You're welcome. I'm sorry, what was that? I'm sure
you're going to have enough preserve.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, but as long as the house people are safe one time.
How many tags can you get up there and when are they valid?
Hold those other ones. They're different.